welcome to Ask Me About K-Pop, the essential guide for recent converts and seasoned fans alike. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Angelica.
And welcome to the show. Oh, we're back.
We are back. Took a little break.
Thanks for being patient and thanks for missing us. It's nice to be missed. But we're back. We're back. And I'm excited to talk about our topic today because it's something I've been curious about for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking today about how the Korean military has possibly different taste in K-pop than the general public. And something called the Billboard chart, which came into public consciousness in around 2021 when Brave Girls blew up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get all into that in a second and it's going to be fun. But like, I guess I just want to say up top that like this whole episode and the topic of it is predicated on the very simple and very heteronormative idea that boy sees pretty girl, boy is happy now. And
yes.
That's just
yeah. Absolutely. It's kind of rooted in the practice of like USO shows, which was something that I think started in the 40s during World War II. I could be wrong, and maybe it started in World War I, but for the US military, performers, like specifically groups of like cute little girls, like wearing their like versions of the, you know, Navy uniforms or something, would go out in a trio and sing a little shoo-bop doo-wop tune for the boys to make them feel happy while they're fighting a war, right? That's where this comes from. And I think that I'm trying to think of like in my knowledge of K-pop and my life as a K-pop fan, like when did I kind of become aware of this idea of the Billboard chart, which that's a thing and we're going to talk about what it is specifically, but I also kind of use it to just sort of encompass the concept of groups that are very popular with the military, because like the military just kind of has this like, you know, like a group conscious where there's like a popularity or whatever. And I feel like maybe it came from Dots, like watching Descendants of the Sun, because that in
there
that,
was a big
that drama
scene
is about
that.
The military. But yeah,
well,
Red Velvet's
came,
in it,
right?
Yeah, Red Velvet's in it because they're like the show is about the military. They're like they're abroad in some made up country, if I remember correctly. And one of the guys is a huge Red Velvet fan. And so the actual members of Red Velvet guest star on this show as themselves. They come out, they play, I think they do Red Flavor. Mm-hmm. And like they do a USO show and all of the army guys are like hooting and hollering and losing their fucking minds, and the main guy or like the main character that we know who is a big Red Velvet fan is like frantically doing like every move of the dance and is like so serious about it. So that I feel like is when I like came, I was like, oh right, I forgot about that, because I also feel like in variety shows, like those golden second gen variety shows like Star, Golden Bell or whatever, when there were just like a bunch of people around and like boys would talk about like being in the military or something, I feel like it would just kind of get mentioned every once in a while that like, oh well, like A Pink is super popular in the military, or like Taeyeon is always really popular in the military, or like it would just kind of get brought up as like a fact about certain people if they were like a guest on that variety show. It'd be like, oh yeah, like did you know that you're like the number, like your song charted because of the in the military or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's always just kind of been on like the peripheral.
Yeah, just something that you understood.
And it's interesting. I was thinking about this earlier today because it's interesting in the sense that like to be from a country where military or armed force enlistment is entirely voluntary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you could make the assumption or the argument that like people who sign up for armed forces in the United States, like maybe that job or that position is going to attract like a certain group of people, and they will and that will lend them toward like certain tastes of like women or even types of music. But it's interesting that Korea, because their military enlistment is mandatory, mm-hmm. that like they still have trends and like popular groups and things like that, that sometimes are very different from what the non-military, the civilian population, yes. is into. I find that so interesting. And I will preface this by saying, like, I'm not about to theorize on the sociology of male group think. I'm just going to put it out there by saying it's kind of funny, kind of interesting, right? Yeah. Like, huh, look at that. They have their favorites, and that's literally all we're talking about today, okay?
I also think it's so interesting, and, you know, like, I have done plenty of objectifying men in my life and in this podcast that I have no moral high ground to speak about this in any way, so... You know,
I would disagree just in the sense of the general gender roles of the world make it less harmful for women to objectify men. And that is what I always say when I say I make no apologies for objectifying men because of that general misogyny and patriarchy that we live in. However, let's just get it out of the way now. And like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of this that's like, oh, it's a pretty or sexy girl or being cute, and they're pandering to the male gaze, and the males are augaying at it. That is a fact of the concept we're talking about today.
Correct. All right. So all of that said, let's get into this. I actually have vocabulary words for this episode.
What a throwback. I love it.
Okay, so the first vocabulary word in Korean is gunpongryong, which means military president, mm-hmm. or like military leader or whatever. And this is the title that is given to artists or girl groups that are very popular amongst soldiers. And the name implies that the strength and encouragement that comes from seeing or hearing these singers could win wars, that they like more or less command the military with their sweet smiles and their booty shaking and their great tunes.
Which is so, I just think it's funny that they're given the title of president. Like, no, they right? are commander. They're not just for morale. They're the commander in chief. And for yes. them, we shall fight.
Like, yeah.
That's very funny.
And then the next term, which we've brought up already, is millboard. And this is obviously a play on billboard mm-hmm. chart. And it's not a real chart. It's correct. Not like it's actually charting anything and then there's a list. It's like a colloquial term for the idea that there are songs that are popular in the military that might not be popular with the general public or less yes. popular or whatever. And I don't know when the term was actually coined, but it seems like it came into consciousness, as I said, when the Brave Girls went back up the charts after 4 years, when everybody realized that, like, oh, there's this group that the military loves and we've never heard of them.
Yeah. But they are specifically very popular with the militaries, as we discussed in our little Brave Girls mini dive.
Correct.
So check that out if you want to learn more about their particular story.
Yes. And the last thing to talk about, it's not quite a vocabulary term, but it's just like an interesting piece of all of this. And this is Gukbang TV or KFN TV, which is the National Defense TV channel. And I don't know if this channel is like available to civilians, like if you can watch it at home, or if it's only available on army bases, but it's like a TV channel for them, and it gives like specific military information that they need to know and has like original programming, but they also kind of get the rights to like popular variety shows and play them on the weekends or whatever. So like it's the TV channel for people in the military, and they have their own music show that's called Consolation Train. And it airs, like, if one base is getting a live performance show, it gets filmed for Consolation Train and it plays at all of the other bases. And this show has been airing every single Saturday since 1961.
Wow.
but it was a radio show only until 2002, and it's been a TV show for 22 years.
Hmm. Kind of late for it to become, like, it really stayed as only audio for longer than I would have expected.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So that's, like, mostly where a lot of these performances are, like, happening, and how these soldiers are getting so, like, attached to these songs and these girl groups is, like, they appear on their own military music show, which mm-hmm. is so fun. And I've watched a couple of, like, episodes, and, like, yeah, it's live performances, and most of the time a couple of soldiers who, you know, probably are on good behavior get chosen to, like, come up on the stage and, like, learn a dance or play a little game with the girls, and then, like, they usually get hugs after, and then everyone Ooh. Goes, like, freaking crazy. So yeah, those are the things we need to know up top.
Love it.
So how did all of this start in the Korean military sense? So in 1954, Marilyn Monroe very famously, like, put off her honeymoon to go to Korea to, like, support the troops. And she performed 10 times in Korea, like, all over during the Korean War. And this was the first time that the Korean military had ever seen any type of quote-unquote consolation performance. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they call them. Like, yeah. it's for consoling them.
Yeah. So sorry you have to fight. Here are some boobs.
Yeah, exactly. So once Marilyn came, it was like, well, this is fun. We have to keep doing this. So some popular performers in the 60s and 70s were the Kim sisters, mm-hmm. who we discussed on our K-pop in America episode, because they got popular in the States because of their performances during the Korean War. And they performed in Las Vegas and on the Ed Sullivan Show, and they played all kinds of instruments and were cool as hell. And here's a clip of them singing a cover of Fever. That performance slaps.
Yeah, they're having so much fun too. And so there's, we, like you said, we talked about them in our K-pop in America episode, but there's three of them. And in that particular performance, you have one playing an upright bass, a sax, and then the vocalist is also playing the electric guitar, and they are, like, cheesing, and the bass player will, like, slap the bass and then be like, ooh, too hot, and, like, shake her hand and, like, pretend like she's sweating. They're so cute.
Their eyeliner is so thick.
Oh, it's
their
so
dresses
good.
Are so sparkly. Their beehives are so tall. So there's the Kim sisters. Another person I learned about was named Patty Kim, and she debuted in 1959 on a military stage. Wiki said 1959, but I found a Korean news special about her that said 56. So not sure, but around then. And I found this old clip of her singing When the Sun is Hot, and it's very 60s and very cool. Jazzy.
So jazzy. And she's so sassy with her little head bobbles.
I love it. And in that clip, she's got a bunch of big radio microphones in front of her. It's cool. Another star of the 60s and 70s was Yoon Bok-hee. And she was one of the first Korean celebrities to ever wear a miniskirt. She showed up at the airport once in a miniskirt, and it caused chaos. And her first album was released in 1967, and the lead single was called Even If Your Smile Is Sweet. So I couldn't find a video of that one, but on the album cover, she's wearing a really cool checkered, like, trench coat and holding a little saxophone. It's also 60s and I love
it. So maybe she plays her own sax. That's cool.
Possibly. But the other cool thing about Yoon Bok-hee is that she was the leader of a girl group called the Korean Kittens. And they toured in Vietnam with the Bob Hope USO tour and performed like popular Western songs. And they also appeared on the Mike Douglas Show and the Bob Hope 1966 Christmas special, among other American TV shows, because they were very, very sexy. And here is a clip of them just singing the shit out of What I Say.
Whoa, wait, these, even just this thumbnail. So you have three women in matching dresses with matching bobs, and the side slit on this dress actually goes all the way up to the pelvic bone.
It's so,
so scandalous. Okay, let's listen to him sing.
Yeah, mama, don't you tell me wrong. Come and look at that open door. Yeah, yeah, why she is. Yeah.
That raspy voice.
Yeah, it. That's so fun. I also like how, like I said, there's three of them, but like one of them is the main singer. She's killing it, and she's just kind of like twisting a little bit. And the other two are sharing a microphone. One of them seems dedicated to singing the backups, and the other one is just twisting her little booty as much as she can, and she doesn't give a fuck about helping sing. She is just there to dance, and that's so fun. I love that.
So that was the Korean Kittens. Another popular singer in the 60s and 70s was Lee Mi-ja, who we talked about very extensively in our trot episode, because she's considered one of the most influential trot singers in history. And just a reminder, we played it in the other episode, but her most favorite song is called Camellia Girl. Okay, so moving into the 1980s. In the 1980s, the very first military president was coined. Like, this term became official when Kim Won-sun debuted in 1986. She debuted at age 17 with an album called Tonight. So that was Tonight, and then her 1990 album, which was called Piero Smiles at Us, sold a million copies.
Perot, like the detective from Agatha Christie? Is that who it's supposed to be? That's super funny.
Or something, or some other. I don't know. I don't know.
That is how Agatha Christie spells it. That would be pretty funny.
That one reminded me of the songs that Stephanie from Full House would always dance to.
Yeah.
Very doing Roger the, like, Rabbit Running Man stuff. Yes.
And then doing the little. Yeah.
But Kim Won-sun was known as Korea's Madonna because she had all the fashion, and she was very charismatic on stage with her presence and her dancing. And she has like a very intense cool girl stare. I think she's extremely fabulous, and I want to do a whole episode on her now because I was wow, 80s K-pop is really something.
It is 80s to a T. I honestly feel like maybe that is like the best, with the exception of what K-pop is now, in that it has like created its own sort of style and genre. That feels like the most of the time.
Yeah.
Because like the early 2000s K-pop felt like it was, you know, like always a decade behind like whatever the like Western side of things was doing. And this one is like so on the nose.
Yeah.
The crimping, the bangles, the tulle.
Oh my God.
The bangs.
Yeah, no, she was it. So then moving into the 1990s, this is when there sort of became like two camps of military presidents. You either have your innocent girls that remind you of the sweet girls that you could go back home to, or sexy girls because you're horny and alone. So like sure. those were the basically like the two kinds of military
and those
presidents.
Two sides could not ever possibly exist in one woman. So no. we will have two separate groups.
Of course. So on the innocent side of the 90s, we had Kang Soo-ji, and she immigrated to New York when she was 16 and then returned to Korea at age 21 because she won the American leg of the MBC college singing contest.
Mm.
So then she debuted in Korea in 1990 with a song called Violet Fragrance. So in that stage mix we just watched, she was wearing like big straw sun hats and giant bows and frilly gloves. And like,
yeah, and like big long blazers with like full length skirts. And even her backup dancers are wearing like capris, mm-hmm. like, and doing a little like, you know, pas de bourrée, single pirouette and jazz. Like, it's very, I love it.
So it's very sweet. This was a fun, interesting fact. Kang Soo-ji was one of the first like public idol daters ever because she very fearlessly publicly dated a singer named Shim Shin for 3 years from 1991 to 1994 and like endured a lot of hate from his fans, but she was courageous anyway. And then a fun fact, Shim Shin is the father of Kiss of Life member Belle.
Wow.
So the K-pop just always is coming around.
So funny.
I thought that was really interesting. Okay. This
2023 connection.
Right?
Wait, it's
2024.
I know what year it is. That's
no, yep. It's fine. This next one is very, very interesting. So the other like big famous 90s military innocent girl was named Lee Ji-yeon. And she started modeling when she was 16. And then, while on a school field trip to a music studio, was offered a recording contract on the spot, which is so crazy.
Hey, I like your face. Want to be a star?
So she debuted in 1987 with an album called You Must Have Been Young Then. But her song from 88 called I Don't Know Love Yet was her most popular. Yeah, wow, backup dancing at that time was much more jazzy and
a little bit jazzercise-y.
Yes.
I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
So this is where the story gets very interesting. So this girl was really, really popular when she debuted. She like got to perform at the Olympics in 88. Like she was an it girl.
Wow.
But after her fourth album in 1992, she became way too overwhelmed with like fame and all of the pressures of it. So she got secretly married and she ran away to Atlanta, Georgia. Her agency, her family, her friends, nobody knew where she was. She like fully ghosted everyone in her life.
The way you can only do in the 90s.
Right? She eventually divorced the guy she ran away with and had to come back home to Korea. But then she moved back to Georgia in 1999. And she is now the head chef and owner of Heirloom Market Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia. And has been featured on Food Network and food magazines. And like is a superstar barbecue chef now.
I think we need to take an AMAK field trip to Atlanta right? and meet this woman and eat her barbecue.
Right.
Because that's amazing.
Isn't it?
So I love that I just for her.
That was a really cool story. And then obviously the sexy solo queen of the 90s was Um Jung-hwa. And she debuted as both an actress and a singer in 1993, like in the same year. And her first songs were kind of like sensual but sorrowful ballads, like that's what she started out doing, but then she pivoted to like fully dance music in 96 and really, really got popular with her song called Rose of Betrayal.
Ooh.
and Um Jung-hwa's popularity in the military was so well known that there's a 90s movie called Unforgiven that I guess is about the military somehow. And it has a scene of characters in their barracks watching Um Jung-hwa videos. So like it's cemented in the culture.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, we need to do eventually. She also deserves her own episode eventually because we've brought her up a couple times and she's just such a iconic solo artist.
Yes. And she is the one, like, nowadays Um Jung-hwa is known as Korean Madonna, but because she's still doing it in her 50s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just thought that was interesting because I was like at both of the articles of like Won Sun and Um Jung-hwa, they were like Korea's Madonna, and I was like, well, one
can
is
you really
80s
have
Madonna
more than one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And one is like keep doing it forever.
Legacy Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then moving in. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also wonder. I mean, we're going to talk about it, but like definitely I would say like Um Jung-hwa is an artist that had major crossover appeal. Like she's not somebody who's only popular with the military.
Oh, sure.
This is an instance where like, there's the military and general public agree Um Jung-hwa is great.
Yes. So speaking of that exact thing, when we get into the 2000s, it's pretty much really similar, like SES, Finkel, Baby Vox, like all the girl groups that were popular with everybody in the late 90s, early 2000s are also popular with the military, like duh.
Yeah.
However,
they also were like the only ones who existed
right
at the time.
So like, of course people liked them. But the reigning president of the early 2000s was Chaeyeon. And Chaeyeon was a solo artist who had originally debuted in Japan in two different groups, one called Brand New Biscuits and one called Ultra Cats. But she returned
Wild
to
names.
I know. She returned to Korea and debuted in 2003. And her first album was like immediately dismissed by critics as like just another sexy solo singer. Cause that's the year that Hyori debuted solo and Bada debuted solo and like whatever. People were like, who cares?
Sure.
But then her second album released in 2004. The title of this album is Virginalness Bloom. And that is not a translation. That is the English title of this album. And I don't think virginalness
is
not
a word. Definitely not. There's no way.
No way. But this album had a song on it called Two of Us. So this song has an incredibly addictive chorus and it had a super sexy and band music video, but it has a really fun little dance. And I feel like I've seen Key do it like before. And it's like you stand to the side and put like blade hands and just go like, no, 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 no. Like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You just kind of like wiggle.
Like, yeah, I don't know. But it's everybody loved it. It swept the military and the rest of the public and made her number one by 2005.
Wow.
So that was the like big standout of the 2000s. Then when we get into our mid to late 2000s and the quote third generation of military presidents, this is when we're just mostly getting like popular idols of the time because K-pop is like exploding.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that would translate to the military too. So like, you know, Girls' Generation, Wonder Girls. Wonder Girls Tell Me was popular everywhere, but Soldiers in particular filmed a lot of like parody videos or did the dance at talent shows to make each other laugh. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And while many major label groups were popular with the public were also popular with the military, I want to take some time to talk about like the interesting stories that are in the more lesser known groups and songs.
Yeah. And I also think it's interesting that, you know, like groups that like Girls' Generation, Wonder Girls, it makes sense that they would also be popular with the military because they're popular in general. But there are a few cool instances where like groups have notable moments in their histories or discographies because of the military and because of their popularity specifically with the military. So let's hear about that.
So the most obvious and most famous stories are obviously the Brave Girls comeback, which was that suddenly in 2021, a Brave Girl song that was released in 2017, there was somebody made a stage mix video of a bunch of different performances of them. And then they had overlaid like screenshots of YouTube comments from soldiers, like reminiscing and making fun jokes about how often they saw and listened to Brave Girls when they were in the military.
Yeah.
And that video like blew up with the public and everyone was like, what? And then the song got super popular because it's a banger. But like no one had really heard it because Brave Girls was spending most of their time performing at army bases and stuff.
Yeah.
So that kind of drew everybody's attention to this idea and it like made Brave Girls relevant for the first time ever. And they got to enjoy like a year or two of some success. And sad news, they said yesterday that BB Girls, which is what they're called now, they're disbanding when their contracts are up. So
bummer. Yeah. Oh, Brave Girls. I was so hopeful after they got to go on Queendom and they like blew up a little again and like, oh
yeah.
Damn. Never got the chance they deserved, no. Brave Girls.
But they did make so many military boys happy for so long. So they contributed somehow. and then the other super famous comeback story is EXID's Up and Down. Because the reason that went back up the charts was there was a viral Hani fan cam that was filmed at a military show.
Yeah. So EXID was one of those other groups that I think they kind of like Brave Girls, like they came out at a time where, and you could obviously make the same argument today because it's even more so, but at a time where we were really saturated with girl groups. And so rather than like really making a name for themselves on the general public civilian music shows, like EXID was small and like hadn't really had a big chart topper. So like the Brave Girls, their agency sent them around to like, okay, well, we can get paid gigs at the military, so just do a lot of those. And we did do an EXID deep dive. I remember the year and I remember the things that we do here. Everything is fine. We have an EXID deep dive. So if you want to learn more about that resurgence of theirs, we definitely address it.
Yes. And obviously there are a ton of songs that were military presidents songs and groups, but they were also popular with the public, like Girls Day Something or A Pink Mr. Chu or Sistar Touch My Body, Crayon Pop Bar Bar Bar, basically everything AOA ever did, et cetera, yeah, et cetera. But I thought it'd be fun to take a moment to shout out songs that were maybe not as popular with the public or well known to people outside of the military or that we haven't really discussed on this show before to keep from being repetitive. So will you regale us with tales from some of these possibly less known military chart toppers?
I would love to. We're gonna go solely in chronological order because it seemed the most fair. So we're gonna start with After School. Ah. So this song was released on January 15th of 2009 on After School's debut album, New Schoolgirl. It was written by Star Wars, Galactica, and Brave Brothers, not the, because it's just one guy. And the music video is literally in 480p. Like, the only version that exists online is terrible quality, but it tells the story of the members of After School who are, like, bad schoolgirls in crop tops, and they like wink at the teacher and they like get him all flustered during class. And then they're like dancing in these like cool girl outfits. They've left their school uniforms behind and they're wearing like heels in front of a white backdrop, or they're in this like messy, unused classroom with a bunch of like piled up furniture. But then the teacher at a certain point accidentally walks into the locker room and they give him a makeover so that at the end of the music video, he's like cute and he's wearing a suit and they're like, haha, you're welcome. And I'm like, what's happening in here? How old are you supposed to be? We don't know. But the general vibe of this whole comeback and debut, because it was their first song, were a lot of those 2009 thigh-high striped socks the like stripes at the top. That was the vibe. Like sporty, cool, tough girls.
Yeah.
Not in it. So we're not getting an innocent schoolgirl. This is definitely falling into the sexy camp. The lyrics are very sexy and flirty. Don't say you love me. Show it to me, please. If I didn't like you, would I dance up on you like this? For some reason, you and me, I keep on feeling for some reason that we're good together. I may fall in love with you. And before the group even debuted, we knew that they were going to be sexy because the company said they were modeled and influenced after the Pussycat Dolls.
Okay. Yeah.
So the choreography has like huge chest rolls into like deep squats. We're emphasizing the long legs, the sexy angles. At a certain point, one of the girls like slowly extends her leg in like a high kick. But then the chorus point move is this really simple, like chest wiggle. Mm. So it seemed like at least the chorus, the boys could learn like really easily and follow along when they would perform on the military.
Right.
So next up, we have a song from Secret called Starlight Moonlight. Complete opposite side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Here we have the innocent version of our popularity or popular styles. This song was released on June 1st, 2011 as Secret's second single. It was written and produced by Kang Ji-won and Kim Ki-bum, and it has traditional Korean folk music influences. So when they teased it initially, critics at least were kind of interested in like, oh, that sounds different. Mm-hmm. In the music video, they are in like this big fake train station and the girls are wearing these like very cute preppy like white and khaki outfits and at the station, and there's a janitor at the station that like thinks the girls are cute or is like kind of following and keeping an eye on them, and one of the girls has a secret admirer. And then like as you go through the music video, there's one scene where they're also just dancing in front of this like big wall with fake windows, and they're wearing these like mismatching, very cheap looking like mall frilly dresses. Mm-hmm. And then like but the music video put money into its sets because it goes from the train station to like a hot air balloon to like this Garden of Eden thing. And they kind of just like go increasingly into like increasingly magical settings until finally the cute janitor from the train station appears underneath the tree in the garden. And like he is the secret admirer and they have found each other in another world.
Wow.
Complex. So the lyrics of this song, there are a lot of scatting and shoobidoos and shalalas. Mm-hmm. It's overall super cutesy. There's a lot of ego like in the vocals themselves, yes. Like the little joa. The lyrics say, you are my starlight, my heart's moonlight. You are my one and only moonlight, always looking at me, always shining on me. So just like a dedicated little love song. Mm-hmm. And I will have to say that in all of the performances I found, the stage outfits were never as cute as the ones they were wearing in the music video, especially the train station in particular.
Yeah, I like so the I little like, vests that feels in the train rude. Outfits.
Yeah, they looked cute in the train station. I was like, why are you not putting that on stage? I don't know. But anyway, the choreo is really, really simple to this. There's like a lot of big arms and like cutesy, like the focus is more on like doing the cute little like fists near your hands and like squishing your face and doing little like pops. And then there's like super, super simple, like you kind of just step back and forth for the entire thing. And then you do these like during the little like do 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 do. Do, 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 do. It's almost like you put your right hand
and it's hokey pokey.
Yeah, it's the hokey pokey. And like that is the dance that they're doing. They're just kind of like waving their arms back and forth. So this is not about breaking a sweat while you dance. Right. some fun facts about this song. I didn't include any fun facts for After School's Ah because it came out in 2009 and I couldn't find any chart info for that far back.
Pre-gone
charts. Pre-charts. But now we're in 2011. So this song, or the album, I will say, actually did peak at number 2 on the Gaon Weekly chart. And it went to number 9 on the monthly. And it sold over 3 million digital copies in 2011 alone. And it is still to this day one of Secret's best-selling songs. It went to number 1 on the Gaon Monthly singles and number 2 on the Gaon Karaoke chart, which I thought was fun.
I love that karaoke chart.
I mean, too. I think it's so fun. So I think that the like traditional folk elements and like retro style of this song helped make it stand out. And it was likewise very popular in the military. Next up, we have a solo artist, NS Yoonji, featuring Jay Park with her song, If You Love Me. Let's go. This song was released on November 1st, 2012 as a single. NS Yoonji is a stage name for a woman who's mainly an actress, but has released like several songs throughout her career. This particular song was written by double sidekick Jay Park and Honey Pink. And in the music video, there are like memories of some old artist boyfriend with like out of focus camera work that is cut with shots of the moon, super close up kisses, and then a black silhouette dancing against a white wall. And it is definitely, it's not really a breakup song. It's more of just like the general, I think, sound of this is so 2012. It made me think of like, I don't know, like one of those like Rihanna,
I was gonna say Jay-Z, like Neo, like, or something.
Yeah, or like you know, like the something that Timbaland would have featured on or something like that. I don't know. But the lyrics say, if you love me, if you want me, hug me harder. If you love me, if you want me, come to me, so tell me, baby. And the choreography is mostly like she would just sort of stand and sing and then do like the arms that the backup dancers are doing. But then there is a completely not touching, but body roll heavy partner dance that she does with Jay Park for the chorus. So no actual touching, but partner dance.
And she was also in every stage I could find, especially the military ones, in the smallest shorts known to man.
The smallest shorts and the largest Timbalands,
yes,
you could find, speaking of Timbaland. This song peaked at number 18 on the Gaon digital chart, which is for singles. And as a fun fact, she actually re-released this song in 2021 with Ju Honey instead of Jay Park. So here's a clip of that.
I miss him so much.
I know.
He posted.
And there is. Oh, go ahead.
No, he just posted a little like Instagram photo dump the other day of like on leave for the weekend pictures. And he looked so cute. I miss him so much. Mom. Okay, go on.
I was just going to say that I did make a YouTube playlist for all of these songs that we're talking about right now. And I did include the video of because there is it's not just an audio release. There is a video of the two of them singing it together. And it's really cute. They both look like they're having a really fun time. So that's in there if you want to watch it. Next up is a song that I think has definitely come up in our like hit the stage or hit the like flashback stages. Hit stage where we go back and watch them. That's what they're called. I remember things. I'm doing a great job so far.
You are. You're killing it.
So this is Nine Muses with Dolls. Was released on January 24th, 2013 on their second single album, also called Dolls. It was written by Kim Song-hoo, Han Jae-ho, Song So-yoon, and produced by Sweet Tune. And this one's kind of fun because Nine Muses is a group that actually gives the military both of their favorite military presidents and I don't know much about Nine Muses, so I don't know how often they went with this concept. But in this particular music video, they have split the girls into two groups. One is a group of four and one is a group of five. And the group of four wear pants or suits for the entire music video. And the group of five wear pretty dresses. Mm-hmm. So you get both the like sexier and the sort of innocent in one.
Love it.
I know, so smart. The music video is very jazzy. The song is super jazzy. As you can hear, there's a lot of horns in it. There's like one set in front of purple doors where the four members are wearing like matching suits with leather shorts and ties and fedoras and like fingerless gloves. And then the five are wearing like white fluffy dresses in a pink room. So like instantly girlier. They're like sitting on a couch and being dainty, whereas like mm-hmm. the four girls in the suits are dancing and like posing in front of the doors. And then there's two sets where all nine members are together. One of them where they're wearing all black and the girls that were in the suits are wearing like full black jumpsuits with like crazy cutouts on the sides. And then the girls that were in dresses are wearing like little black cocktail dresses. And then the last set that has all of them in it, they're wearing all white, and the girls in the suits are still wearing pants, and they have like fringe cowboy shirts, which is really fun. But so the music video is very choreography focused, and it kind of just jumps around. It doesn't have a plot. It just like jumps around, and you get to see the girls dance in all these different outfits. But this is a breakup song. It's about specifically being like devastated after a breakup. The lyrics say, "What is love? What is it that makes even my ripped heart feel precious? When time passes, everything will be forgotten. I comfort myself like this every day foolishly."
Oh, no.
So a very sad song, despite the super bright horns and the very, very groovy choreography. This mm-hmm. is all about the body rolls, long legs, the tiniest heel touch steps in the tallest of heels, and butts.
So much butts. There is
specifically an extended like hip wiggle during the instrumental break, and when they performed it, they added a dance break that had a very touchy partner dance between one of the members in the suit and one of the members in the dress.
Oh.
So a little gay baiting there for you too. Fun fact. So this was their highest charting single at the time. It peaked at 17 on the Gaon Digital, and the album went to number 9.
All right.
Next up, we have Hello Venus, Would You Stay for Tea? The song was released on May 2nd, 2013 on Hello Venus's third EP, Would You Stay for Tea? / Walk Me Home. It was written and produced by Oreo and Soyoung Bae, and the song incorporates Paco Bell's Canon, which is like a very, if you heard the classical, you would recognize it.
It's a very like a popular people, Walk Down the Aisle
wedding. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like the wedding march, but a lot of people walk down the aisle to it. In the music video, we have our classic second gen fake K-pop street with Kang Jun from For Prize as our love interest. We get our one love interest per group trope. So they're all like attracted to Kang Jun. And then one of them with the thickest bangs they could possibly be clip-ons makes a love potion. So they all drug his tea and like try to get him to fall for them, but it only works on one of them. Presumably the first one who did it. I don't know. But it ends with like a lean in to kiss on the couch. And then there it cuts between like the dates and the plot with like two dance scenes where the girls are wearing very color coordinated baby doll dresses with very like mod retro kind of styling and big matching heels.
They're cute.
Yeah, they're very cute. So the lyrics are very specific. They are about a girl who has been dating a boy for 100 days and she wants him to invite her in for tea and doesn't understand why he won't ask first. It's basically a song where she's saying, we've been dating for 100 days and you still haven't fucking kissed me yet. So what's the deal? It's embarrassing that I have to be the one to ask because I'm the girl. So the lyrics say, stupid boy, silly boy, I can't wait any longer. Today I will be courageous and tell you, after the evening sun sets, after the darkness falls, will you take me home? Do you want to come in and have some tea?
Oh my god, so it's like Netflix and chill.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. And this firmly lands in our innocent military president's side of our spectrum. The choreography is a lot of like shoulder shakes and skippy steps. The focus is mostly on like giving face and looking cute in these dresses and heels, which they do. And I will shout out the super solid second gen live vocals that are in the stages because they sounded great and they're using their little hand mics and they're actually singing. On the chart, this album debuted and peaked at number 6 on the Gaon album, but the song itself only went to 37 on the digital. So Military liked it because it was very sweet.
That's very, and it's very interesting that this one was so sweet because I admittedly don't know much about Hello Venus at all. And the only Hello Venus song that I like really know is that Wiggle Wiggle one that's like where they sing about shake your butts and it goes H-E-L-L-O Venus and they like
wiggle wiggle undung in a gay wiggle wiggle
wiggle wiggle. Yeah, so I was surprised that this one was so cute. So maybe they did both and that's why they were popular. I think you gotta do both.
I think you have to be able to do both because I feel like Nine Muses was not always super sexy.
Right.
And After School also, like, they were very sexy in their main ones, but then they would have those, like, you know, like Orange Caramel, like the cuter or like goofier subunits. So I think that, yeah, your ticket to true Millboard success is going to be your versatility.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not what we're going to get from the next one. This is Stellar with Marionette.
Honestly, this music video kind of shocked me. Because I got this off of a list of military like performances from the Consolation Train show. And they were absolutely not wearing these outfits when they were performing on the army base. So I was like shocked when I pulled this music video up. Sorry, you can talk about it more. I just like needed to get my shock out of the way.
No worries. The whole country was shocked. I think it's fair to say. So this song was released on February 12th, 2014 on Stellar's first EP, which is also called Marionette. It was written by Lee Joo-hyung, Ji-hai, Song Soo-yeon, and produced by Mono Tree. And the music video is actually rated 19 and up. So the music video is entirely it's one shot of the girls dancing with like a bunch of backup dancers. There's only four members of the group, but they are wearing purple leotards with like the high waist hose. And so they're wearing like kind of sheer black tights underneath with like garters on.
But it's and weird heels. Because the leotards are cut so high, but mm-hmm. the hose are the control top kind.
Yes.
Where
yes,
the panty are. Shorts are darker than the rest. And it like looks crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild look to begin with. And it is also strange because the music video itself is very poorly lit. Like the room is like gray, like it has yeah. like a gray wash over it. And so it's not even really, and like they're dancing for being a completely dance focused music video. Their dancing is not very tight. It's not super synchronized. They're not really like hitting it. Mm. And in my opinion, I think the girl who's hitting it the least looks uncomfortable in her outfit.
That is a thing has been revealed in the years since, that none yeah. of the Stellar members liked any of this and did mm-hmm. not want to do it. So that like yeah. makes it more uncomfortable than
that
it
makes
already
it
is.
Even worse. And I think it is, I think you can see it on their faces. Mm-hmm. I think you can. So the lyrics are about a person who's like stringing you along. They say, "You're really bad. I hurt again. You haven't changed. I haven't changed. I'm being played by your whims. I can't cut off these feelings. I'm still in your hands like that doll." For the choreography in this, there's mostly like it literally starts with body rolls that then drop into an open squat. There's a lot of legs and bending over, and it was known for a move called the butt wiggle move, where they basically turn around and they scratch their cheeks with like both hands. Mm. It's honestly not sexy. It's just weird. And people on the internet were like, "What is that? That's so odd."
Right.
And I think that like if they weren't wearing leotards to do this choreography, it wouldn't be nearly so scandalous as it is.
Yes, especially because in the video, like so much of their butt cheeks is showing, even with yes. the sheer tights over it, it's like lewd.
Yeah, it is a little bit lewd. And the song began receiving controversy before it was even released because of a stripping game where fans had to like posts on the group's official Facebook page in order to reveal parts of the members' bodies in these blurred Ew. Out photos. Yeah. And they received so much criticism from that campaign that the agency eventually deleted all the related posts and were like, "Okay, oops, that was a misstep." The music video itself was banned from television because of the choreography and the costume choices, and only Show Champion allowed the original choreography to be performed on stage during the music show.
Show Champion is a deep cable show. So.
Mm-hmm. So every other music show, they had big bike shorts on over their leotards, and rather than doing the part where they just like, because they literally just like bend over and then they go like but like they just like scratch scratch. So instead of doing that, they just do a like pop pop, which looks way better. And then like in watching it, I was like, this doesn't even like, you should have just done the changed choreo yeah. the whole time. Like this didn't need to be so crazy, but whatever. It is, however, all that controversy aside, still the group's best-selling single. It sold over 100,000 digital copies in the month that it was released. It peaked at number 35 on the digital singles chart on Gaon, and it went to 34 on Billboard's K-pop 100. So it did actually get the group a bit of attention. All right, next up on our timeline is perhaps, I think, like one of the, aside from Brave Girls, like one of the most popular military songs. Like I feel like the military, this was so popular for both general public and military in particular.
But I felt like we hadn't ever spoke about it on the show.
Oh no, totally.
So that's why
we've never really
it.
Talked about it. So totally worth including. But I feel like it's like one of those songs where like, if we're going to talk about songs that are popular in the military, we cannot leave this out.
Totally.
So that is G-Friend's Rough. Was released on January 25th, 2016 on G-Friend's third EP, Snowflake. It was written and produced by Iggy, Im Suho, and So Song Jin. In the music video, there's like the super fancy private school. This is our innocent schoolgirl aesthetic. We have the girls dancing in matching uniforms or matching sweaters, either outside of the school or inside a classroom. And then they otherwise just get like solo shots looking pretty and wistful in different parts of the school. And this song was meant to be the final song of a three-part school series that followed each of their EPs. And this song represents the end of a school year and talks about wanting to be close to somebody that they keep like missing in their life. So it says, "I wasn't able to tell you, but I liked you like a dream from the younger days, like a miracle. If I could run through time and become an adult, I will hold your hand in this cruel world."
I've always thought about this song as like the K-pop version of Wouldn't It Be Nice. Like, oh, it's that same kind of sentiment. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we wouldn't have to wait so long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the choreography, this is the G-Friend choreo. It is highly synchronized, which I noticed was kind of a trend of a lot of the groups that were really popular with the military. Like, it's like where all of the members are doing the exact same thing like throughout the dance.
Maybe they like that because they have to march all the time.
They have to do it too, right? So they like it when they're like, they appreciate seeing, you know, perfect unison.
I know that's hard to do. Yeah.
But the main difference between G-Friend and the rest of the groups on this list is that their choreography is dainty but wildly complex. And I think that a lot of the other groups that do this sort of like innocent style and is popular with the military, they are doing like simple choreo that the guys can learn and do along with them. That's not what G-Friend is. G-Friend doesn't give a shit about the boys being able to do their figure skating turns while they're doing it on stage. So this dance features a lot of like arabesque turns. It's very gliding and smooth. There are like skipping steps, big arms, and really fast feet. And this was a huge hit for G-Friend. So it wasn't just popular in the military. It was a crossover. They won 15 music show trophies, which at the time put them in second place for the most wins by a girl group for a single song. The song debuted at number two and then peaked on number one on Gaon Digital and became the group's first number one single and spent 7 weeks in the top 10 and won 5 awards after its release. So it was a Rough is the G-Friend song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's so interesting because I feel like I remember when this came out because we learned it in our K-pop dance class and we performed it for festivals like that whole year. I still know every step of this dance because it was so hard to learn. But I always, that's how I know what is popular in Korea versus what is popular with like international K-pop stands on the internet is my dance teacher, her thumb was always on the pulse of what do people like in Korea right now. Like, she didn't care what the rest of us liked. So when she would pick something like this, like, I remember, I don't even think I knew that G-Friend existed when she picked this song.
We did not. But I also think that this was the song that really put them on the map.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good one. I like it.
All right. Last but not least, we just want to shout out a group that has always done very well with the military. This is Le Boom. And we are going to listen to a clip from their song, Fresh Adventure. This song was released on April 6, 2016. I believe the more common Korean title for this song is Journey to Atlantis, but the album is called Fresh Adventure. The song was written by Galax Musso Eun and Jang Yeon Jung. It was produced by Max Song and Musso. And the music video, we're again staying in that innocent side of the spectrum. We have kind of a schoolgirl concept where there's like one room where they're dancing in kind of uniform-ish blue and white outfits to like show off the choreography. But then otherwise, the members are just in like comfy clothes in this big shared living room, and they decide to go on an adventure. But within the plot of being in this living room, they are just going to set up the living room for camping. So they have like, they like build like a fort over the couch, and they bring out like an acoustic guitar, and it gets cut in between scenes of them actually in a field outside camping and then doing the dance in these like other matching kind of like cheerleader looking outfits. Mm-hmm. But then they have their like living room camp out, and they wake up at the real campsite. So like magic has happened, and now they're enjoying like an actual adventure. And the lyrics are really simple. It's just, let's get out of town and have an adventure. It says, let's go, adding imagination on imagination. Oh my gosh, it's dazzling, dazzling, dazzling. Boom, boom, boom. The choreo, again, super synchronized, but I would say less comp. This is kind of in between like the secret shalala dance, mm-hmm. where we're just doing the hokey pokey, and then rough, which is like, this will take hours of dedication to learn. This one's going to be kind of in the middle of those. Right. So we get a lot of dainty arms. They're super in sync for the most of it. We get like tiny kicks or skips and spins, and then some of the formation changes will like highlight one member at a time, so like give each one a chance to like sing their little line and wink at the camera and then move away. And this song peaked at number, or this album peaked at number 9 on the Gaon album chart.
I love this song. Because I do feel like it feels like a fresh adventure.
And it
like,
does.
It just has such like happy, sparkly vibes. I could totally imagine being like a sad boy in the military who's like tired and hungry and misses my mom. And then you hear this nice song, like it would make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder too, I feel like I need to ask June, like, because he's the only person I know who's ever like been in the Korean right. military. And I want to know, like, because K-pop is popular in the military. Sure. And like, as we're talking about, there are like specific groups that are super popular, sometimes even popular enough to like change the direction of this group's career. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, not everyone in the country is a K-pop fan. So I wonder if there are instances where like boys go into the military and they're like, nah, I don't like K-pop. I don't listen to that stuff. And then like they get really into it in the military. Or if it's like, oh, yeah, I used to listen to that when I was in the military, but I don't listen to it anymore. I'm not into that. Like, no. Or whatever. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. Yeah.
How the military like influences an individual for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Another thing that I did not like write down at all for this episode, because it feels like it's a whole separate thing and we did talk about it in an episode, but the military is also partly responsible for the huge resurgence in trap music as of late. Like,
yes,
they also are super into trap music, and we're watching that Miss Trot show, and like they did a lot to help push trot forward as it has been in the past couple of years.
I wonder if it also has to do with what they are able to, what they have access to while on the base or while in training. Like they probably, because I know, like we know based on idol accounts that like they do, when they're in training at least, they don't have their phones, like they don't necessarily have like a computer or whatever,
and TV
have,
time like, is unlimited. Like regimented, exactly. And you have to watch what everyone else is watching because there's
yeah,
one
so like
TV.
That's probably why they have this like, oh, everybody's really into this trot, like Miss Trot, because it's the only show they're allowed to watch,
right.
Like or the only one that plays on the like Korean TV or the military TV channel yeah. that anybody's remotely interested in.
And another thing I did just want to bring up for like rounding out the conversation's sake is like, yes, we were talking exclusively today about all of the girl groups and female solo artists who like are super popular in the military, but like they don't only get girl groups. Like, boys do come visit them sometimes. I saw videos of Big Bang performing on Consolation Train. Like, it's not always girl groups, but obviously, like, that is it's probably the vast majority, is mostly popular. Yeah.
And I would say that the girl groups are where they get the bigger bumps. Like, the attention from the military is going to have a bigger effect on a girl group than it is on a boy group.
Yeah, for sure. And I totally get it as being a like a circuit to play, more or less. Like, if you are a lesser known girl group and your company can't pay to get on Music Corps, I bet the government pays you extra to show up probably on these shows. And it's a great way to get work and to get attention. But I also, this is a total aside, but it was interesting and worth looking up. I did see a cool video of On and Off when they were all in the military at the same time. They went on Consolation Train and performed one of their songs, but they were in their uniforms. Like, they were wearing K-pop outfits. They were, like, buzz-cutted in their beefy camo doing On and Off songs. And I was like, this is so fun.
That is really fun.
And everyone
fun.
Was really hyping them up, and it was cool.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like we've talked about it a little bit. Maybe we talked about it in our, like, in the military, in the Army Now episode, where we talked about how, like, sometimes it, like, the idols will go into, like, the military band or something. But it's really, there are obviously a lot of examples where idols that are in the military will, like, perform at different community shows and stuff. And I bet it's really fun for the, like, rest of the, you know, because, like, they have become friends with their like unit,
and they know them as regular,
just a regular person. Yeah. And then they get to go up there and be like, yeah, Changmin, get it, or whatever. Like, I just think that's so funny.
It is funny. It's fun. Yeah, so there you go. That's a little dive into the history of groups that were popular with the military. And, like, as you notice, this timeline cut off in 2016 because that was the information I could readily find without making, like, educated guesses as to what's probably popular now. I'm sure it's what's popular. Like, this is in the news recently. I thought it was funny. Oh my god, why can't I think of his fucking name? What the fuck? Minhyuk from Monsta X?
Yeah.
That's his name, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm staring at his face right now in my Monsta X calendar in front of me, and I'm like, wait. So Minhyuk is in the military right now, obviously, and his unit, I don't know if somebody released a picture, if it was a news segment, something, but, like, the room that he sleeps in was, like, featured on television somehow, and he has a picture of Karina from aespa next to his bed, and, like, that made the news.
That's really funny. That's really, really funny. Yeah, I feel like you can also maybe make an argument that, like, 2016, there's a real, like, divergence in what K-pop has become since 2016. So we might need, like, a little bit more time to step away from all of the fourth and fifth generations as they're still unfolding. And I'm like, okay, Blackpink, aespa, they were really popular.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, probably that's what makes sense, but
I don't know.
Anyway, I hope that was fun for you. It was fun for me to, like, know the truth and to get some insight as to what the military boys like. And I was happy to have found Consolation Train because it's, like, it's a fun music show stage to look up because, like, it's a music show stage, but the fervor in the audience is a whole different level. Like, these people are so fucking excited to see these idols, like, even more than their diehard fans at Music Corps are. Like, there's a real spirited joy in it that I find contagious and lovely.
Absolutely. There's a different level of appreciation.
So with that, we'll be right back with a random game. Okay, we are back. And this week, the random number generator gave us former IZ*ONE member and current solo artist, Che Ye Na.
Yes. Known just as Yena, she was in IZ*ONE and then made her solo debut under Yuhua Entertainment with her EP Smiley on January 17th of 2022. So she's only been an active solo artist for about 2 years now. Let's see. She has released 3 EPs and 2 single albums. And she's also released a few Japanese singles. And I noticed that at least on her first EP, and it looks like all throughout her releases, she has a few credits for both the lyrics of her songs and the production of her songs. So she's a little bit involved with the music she's putting out.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like the only reason I had ever seen her name before is that last summer she got into like a little bit of a like legal problem over her single Hate Rodrigo, which was like a cheeky little song that referred to American pop star Olivia Rodrigo in like a cute jealousy way, like not in an actually I hate Olivia Rodrigo, but like I wish I could be her so much that I kind of hate her. And the music video had posters of Olivia Rodrigo in it. And I guess Rodrigo's team got word of this and there was cease and desists and stuff put out. So Yuhua had to pull down the music video over trademark copyright stuff and re-upload it with like very significant edits and all of the shots of Olivia Rodrigo herself like removed from it.
I mean, it is interesting, like if you're going to make a song that is that specifically about a person who is currently active and like around your same age, like this is not like a you're talking about, you know, Marilyn Monroe or something, right. And she can't come after you. Like this is talking about one of your contemporaries and specifically naming them, that the company wouldn't have reached out and tried to clear that with Olivia Rodrigo's team for in the first place seems like an odd choice.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I mean, it was cute and it was very clearly not actually hateful. But like I found out about it through like TikTok because like Yena's fans were trying to defend her from Olivia's fans who were hearing through the grapevine like K-pop star made a diss track about Olivia.
Everyone was like, no, that's not what it is.
Yes.
Well, so it looks like her most popular is from her debut, and it's called Smiley featuring BB.
I'm excited to watch it. I might have seen it before, but I do love BB. So that's always fun. All right. If you want to watch it with us, just go ahead and pull up Yena Smiley featuring BB and press play when I say go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Oh, it's raining hearts and smileys. That's
oh dear. And someone is Yena herself is on top of the Eiffel Tower. It's snowing and a man is sad about it. Everybody's sad about all their lives.
Yeah, these people in a diner, they're fighting, they're crying. The waitress is having a bad day. This looks like Marfa. This like diner in the middle of nowhere.
And there's a lot of like cartoon on top of the like she just landed outside of the diner and then like there was an animated like poof where she landed. And we're gonna I thought she was gonna go right through the window. But no, we're just dancing while we listen to our Walkman and we're looking through the windows.
All the letters are out on Shady Hotel and it just says Sad Hotel. She gave a child a balloon.
She's here to shake things up.
Ooh, outfit change. Outfit change.
Okay, so she comes in and starts singing and breathes some life into this sad diner. The waitresses are dancing in their cute uniforms.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, BB appeared in a lightning bolt.
And she has devil eyes and a devil tail because BB is scary. See, that guy looks like Satan is terrified. She's going around and she's bringing sad clouds to everybody and shocking them with lightning. So presumably undoing all the work that Yenna just did. I don't know. Are they going to fight?
I hope so. Yeah, she banished Yenna to the snow place.
And she's like, they are fighting.
But she's saying, I'm going to make you smile.
Yeah. And she's getting the guy in the snow to dance, even though he's in the snow. Oh, you're so close to the door. You can do it. She's trying to get through the snowstorm.
Oh.
She fell.
Oh,
it was
no.
too cold. It's she too passed cold. Out.
She's going to freeze like the little match girl.
Is he going to go open the door? Yes. He's going to save her, this man.
This guy who's the security guard of the nothing? Like, it's just...
Of the void.
Of the void.
The snow is... Oh, the guy, the security guard is the guy, is the little boy from the beginning. Oh, cartoon.
Oh,
magical girl transformation. Turned the whole planet into a smiley face, and now all the lights are back on. And we're going to have a concert on top of a huge speaker in front of the little diner facade. She looks like a princess with her...
Yeah, like Princess Peach in the, like, cupcake dress with the little tiny crown.
And her, like, elbow-length gloves and cape.
Oh, good. Now her and
credits.
BB are dancing.
And then her and BB are looking cute and cheesing for the camera. Adorable. BB has such a good face. She's so expressive.
Yay. Adorable. That was cute.
Adorable.
All right. Well, it is weekly recommendation time. Jeez. And I do have recommendations, but before I get to it, I feel like I need to address a breaking news because people in the Discord have been asking for my opinion on a breaking news.
Go ahead.
So last night, yesterday, when we were recording this, yesterday was an insane day of K-pop news. Like, so much crazy stuff was coming out. But one of the crazy things that came out is that my precious Yoon Bomi from A-Pink has been dating one half of Black Eyed Pilsung's Rado for the last 8 years.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. It's also funny because it's like one of the few producers we've actually done a deep dive on.
So like, I know that guy. I can vouch for that guy.
Yeah.
But I think it's amazing. I think that's great. Like 8 years is such a long time. Like 8 years says commitment. 8 years says like, wow.
Mm-hmm. And wow. Almost as long as you've been with your husband.
We've been together for 14 years.
I said almost.
We've been married for 7, so like, okay, it's sort of close. But point is, that's such a long time, and I think that's so amazing, and I'm like very happy for her, and I think that's super cool, and like, I don't know, he's like a CEO and a cool music guy, and she's cool, and I love it.
Yeah, I like that she's with not talent.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that's usually a better route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good for her.
So yeah, everybody wanted to know what I thought because that's one of my old biases. And I think it's great and I'm very happy for her. I am obviously bummed that Dispatch like blew their spot up when they clearly had been keeping a very good secret for a very long time. But she's on Queen of Tears right now, and it's officially the most popular K-drama to ever exist. So, like, I don't know. I feel like that's such a strange and upsetting thing that, like, I'm sure it happens here, too. But I notice it a lot in, like, Korean media that, like, if you get popular or, like, have a thing that people like, then somebody's going to dig up shit on you. Like,
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's so true.
But anyway, point is, that's not a recommendation. I'm excited. Hashtag loud idols bang always. Had to get that out of the way.
Love it.
Okay, recommendation. What have I been listening to? Real talk, I have mostly been listening to the new Lizzie McAlpin album, which is not K-pop at all. But it's one of the few non-K-pop things that I listen to, that artist, and she has a new album out, so I've been listening to that a lot. But I've been trying to pay attention to things, and I did listen to the new Boy Next Door album, Little Mini, and it's fun. It's definitely different than their first two, but not so far different that it feels like wrong. But it is a little different, and I want to know other people's opinions. So the main title is called Earth, Wind, and Fire. And when it first started, like the backing track that is the little almost, it's kind of anti-chorusy in the chorus, this like little hook that plays. To me, it immediately sounded like Mamamoo Hip, but a little bit faster. And I can't unhear it. And I don't know if I'm the only person who hears it, but like that was my first thought. Like the second it started, I was like, oh, this is like hip, but like faster. Let me know if you agree. But I was just happy to see that boy Next Door was back, because yeah, I like them. And I also really like the new Rise song. It's called Impossible, I'm pretty sure. Let me make sure that that's right. Yes, it's called Impossible. And it feels like a very, like Asian Junkie said, it was like a return to classic SM house music, like that it is a little bit Shiny View and a little bit FX Four Walls. Like it is that kind of K-pop that I feel like we don't really hear that often anymore. So I was kind of excited to like hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I still haven't quite figured out like what Rise's whole deal is, because the other song on the album, it's just like two songs. They still haven't put out anything real. But the second song is Siren, which was their pre-debut track, which is super loud. And this is just the same song, but they took the hiatus member out of it.
Oh.
Which also sucks. So yeah. I don't know what to think about any of that. But I like those things. And then this is like, I feel like this is a recommendation to nobody, because this song is so popular right now, but I just want to throw my voice into the chorus and agree that Illit Magnetic is an incredible song. I'm glad that it's so popular, and I kind of want to learn the dance because I can't stop seeing it everywhere.
I haven't heard that one yet. I saw the title like coming up on somebody, I've seen the title come up recently, but I haven't watched it myself. The other thing that I think is probably pretty popular with the general public right now, or at least like the international fans, I feel like I've seen it come up, but I did actually watch it and I really like it, is Kiss of Life's Midas Touch.
Okay.
That's really fun too. And I saw a lot of comments on like the YouTube performances that were saying that this feels like a return to classic second gen K-pop. It was like, oh, this actually like sounds, it sounds familiar with while being new like this. And I totally understood what people were saying. Like as soon as I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, this does sound and feel and look like the kind of K-pop that was coming out when I first started getting into K-pop. And I really liked it. I thought the song was really fun. And Kiss of Life is a girl group whose debut we really liked. So I was happy to see them continuing to release stuff that is fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. See, hey, we did it. We are not so out of it.
I've just been feeling like all the stuff that we do thousands and thousands of times.
I just feel so out of it. Like it's April and I feel like not a single group that I like stan hard has put out anything this year. So I feel like really disconnected in general. And I watch the K-ville like new song chart every week and I'm like, I don't know who anybody is. I don't even bother out of it.
I'm just like, if something's going to be popular, I'll come across it.
It'll fall in my lap somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Other great news, just to address one more thing before we go, because it's exciting and it happened since the last time we recorded, is that our sweet Jinky is gonna be back.
Yes.
And Shiny's doing encore shows for their anniversary in May, and he will be at them. And that just makes my heart feel so good and warm.
Yes. And I did also appreciate that, like, when he came kind of back into the social sphere, he had posted on Bubble, which is like a paid subscription, and he explained, like, he apologized for being absent for so long, and did also explain that, like, one of the reasons he hadn't said anything was because he didn't renew
right.
his contract. So he's under new management now. And he was like, while that was getting settled, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to post certain things because since, like, you guys pay for these messages, and, like, he was like, I just wanted to make sure I didn't step on anybody's toes or get in trouble until everything was sorted. So, like, I've been fine, like, for a while. I just didn't say anything until all my legal shit was settled.
Yes.
And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, but he looks incredible. He looks so great.
Yeah. He looks happy and healthy, fluffy, pretty hair. He did a fan meet recently.
Yeah. And he performed at some, like, festival or something this weekend. So there was, like, airport pictures, and he was a presenter, and he looked great.
Yeah, because he performed somewhere, and I think also he was, like, a presenter at, like, a Singapore award show or something like that. Because, yeah, I saw a post from a guy who received an award from Jinky saying, like, I first saw Shiny perform live, like, at this, where I was a whatever, and now I'm getting an award from them. Like, I can't believe it. And it was really cute.
That's so cute. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. So yeah, those are some, just a good feel good update. Cause I think our last episode was the shiny duck thing.
And we were like, where the hell is Jinky? So now
he's been found and it's fine.
He's back. And so are we.
And so are we. So thank you for listening to this episode. And again, thank you for being patient while we took an unexpected hiatus. Sometimes life gets in the way of making podcasts, but we do our best. And if you want to find us, we can be found on Instagram at amakpoppod. You can send us emails at amakpoppod@gmail.com. You can leave us texts or send us texts or leave us voicemails at 181-AMAKPOP5. You can send us mail at P.O. Box 26096, Los Angeles, California, 90026. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/AMAKPOPPod. I did finally put up the multi-cam excellent close-up version of the full weekly interview on Patreon this week.
Idol interview bonus content.
It's truly
only
so
on Patreon.
It's truly very nice. It's kind of short because we didn't talk to them that long. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was so nice of their company to literally provide me with 3 HD camera angles, and I could not let them go to waste. So I edited a nice little video for you if you want to check that out on Patreon, along with all kinds of other fun stuff on Patreon. Linktree/AMAKPOP will take you to our Spotify and our YouTube, where we'll have playlists for this episode and all the other episodes. You can also join our Discord there, where people keep each other company when we are not podcasting, and you can join them. And we'll be back again with more fun things very soon. And thank you again for loving us and your patience and your support. And that's all. Okay, see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jonghyun, you're our inspiration.